Good morning, good afternoon. Welcome, colleagues. It is so happy to have you here. Welcome back to the library. We are here for another live cast and webinar presentation on technology for financial professionals. Good morning and good welcome. Our class today is going to be on Power BI for financial professionals. We're going to be looking at this incredible tool and all the amazing things that we can do with it to help improve reporting inside of our organizations. You know, if we ultimately look at the intention of any sort of financial operation, ultimately what we're trying to do is reflect information back to decision makers so that they can make decisions. And what's amazing with the tools that are available today with Power BI, we can take that information, populate it in several different ways, and present it in a way that is meaningful to the people making decisions. And so what we're going to go ahead and take a look at today is getting started with this particular tool. My intention is to kind of give you enough framework to understand where this tool is used, how it could be put into production inside of your organization, and how you can utilize it to create fantastic reports for your company. This is the first of several webinars that we're going to do on this particular topic. And today, what we're going to look at is kind of the macro things around this particular product, how it's used, how it's functioned, and we're going to look at how we get data in and some best practice with this. So we're going to start with taking a look at some of the dashboards and some of the capabilities around this. I'm going to give you some big macro information around Microsoft's Power BI and what some of the capabilities are. I'm going to show you where to go to get it, some of the reasons that you should go and get it. And then we're also going to talk about some ways that we can build and generate reports around it. We'll also touch upon some things, for example, around how we can distribute these reports to other people inside of our organizations, and ultimately how we can improve reporting inside of our companies and what that might look like for our operations. Okay, now for our financial professionals in the audience that are with us today, I do want to remind you that this webcast, this podcast, this webinar is eligible for CPE credit. If you're interested in earning CPE for today's broadcast, go ahead and check out cpetoday.com. Use course code PBI1 and you can take a short 5-question exam and earn a credit for today's class. So if you like podcasts as much as I do and you'd like to maybe get some credit for it, this is a simple, fast, and effective way of getting credit for today's class. In addition to for your purchase, you also will get copies of all the learning materials that we're going to talk about today. I've got some sample files that we're going to look at in terms of working with Power BI, and you'll have copies of those for your own learning purposes. You can ask me questions, and there's also some amazing other additional learning materials that are available to you. So head on over to cpetoday.com, use course code PBI1, and get started and take the today's test. All righty. Now, with respect to our material, we're going to go ahead and start first with just a brief discussion with what Power BI is and where it functions and how it is used. Power BI is a business intelligence tool, meaning it's a tool that we can take our data and transform it into meaningful information. Data in and of itself doesn't really have a lot of value. It is raw facts, essentially. So number of orders, a purchase of this, a check of that. But really, it requires processing to make this useful and effective. I have to take that raw data and provide context around it for people to really understand what I'm talking about. You know, I don't want to just know the amount of checks I wrote or the amount of payroll issued. I want to see that in context with respect to my customers or my employees and the departments and the jobs and the other things that kind of go along with it. What Power BI gives us the ability to do is to take that data, process it in a very easy to use manner, and then make it available to the decision makers inside of our organization so they have the insight necessary to know where costs are going or where sales are going or other things of this nature. It's a very simple tool, but also incredibly powerful. And that's such a rare balance that you find in today's software economy. Most of the time when you see things that are very powerful, they're very complicated and requires a lot of processing and a lot of technical training to be able to use effectively. Not the case with Power BI. In fact, you probably already have a pretty good indication and a pretty good ability to be able to use it already. If you're familiar with Excel, and if you're like me, you use Excel regularly, guess what? You already have a lot of capabilities and a lot of knowledge that is going to be immediately applicable with Power BI. And that's one of the really cool things about this tool, is that most of us already have a familiarity and association with it that through our use of other Microsoft products. And so with this tool, we can take data coming from a number of different resources. We can take data from spreadsheets. We can take data from the web. We can take data from REST APIs. We can take data from anywhere practically, process it very simply and easily, and then turn around and make dashboard reports available from it. Now, this is what we call a write once, refresh tool, meaning I'm going to go through the headache, the hassle, the heartache of creating these different reports. But once I kind of go through that, and once I publish it, it's available for whomever in my organization might need it, and it will refresh automatically for their purposes. I don't have to go and recalculate that report and pull the data again. As long as the data can be accessible by the Power BI service, it will be refreshable to the people who need this information, and they will see live or semi-live, almost real time. There is sometimes a delay with respect to how the data is calculated and used, and we'll go into that a little bit later on. But the net effect is they're not coming back to my desk, and they're not having to come back to me to be able to do this report. It is amazing in the sense of how much power it can lend to the financial professional in terms of being able to produce meaningful reports that they can then hand off to their colleagues to make those decisions. Now, what's also incredible about Power BI is that it's free, F-R-E-E, 100% free. Free as in free speech. And it is a tool that anybody can go and download from powerbi.com and get started. Now, to be clear, there are premium versions of this product that are useful if you're inside of a business. But if you're looking to start creating dashboards and you're looking to start creating reports and learning a little bit about this tool, the good news is that you can get started with this product for free, you know, and you can get started and learn all the things that we're going to talk about today with absolutely no cost to you to get started with this tool. Now, the charges are mostly around how businesses would use this platform. The charges come around with how much data you choose to store inside of the Power BI service, as well as if you'd like to share it. They do charge if you'd like to share this data with other people. But again, if you're learning, if you just want to follow along with this class, there's really no upfront investment. You can get started and learn with this tool automatically. Now, what can you do with this? Well, Power BI natively has lots of different integration points, and it also has lots of different report types that you can do with this. One of the really cool things about Power BI is the fact that you do not need to have a master's degree in computer science to be able to use this tool. You do not have to have a CPA license to be able to do the calculations. In fact, it's even easier than this, than what I'm making it. It natively will integrate with a number of different services. So as long as you have an account with these different things, it will actually pull the data in automatically without you having to do any heavy lifting to make it work. Now, think about the normal way that you would calculate a report for your business, okay? I was doing a report for a nonprofit I'm working with right now, and it's a sales report and registration report for an event that they're going to have later this year. Well, how do I calculate the sales for this? Well, traditionally, I would go around, and in this case, I do, to the different data sources where that data lives. So I go to the website, I pull the sales, I go to the e-commerce component, I pull the sales there as well. I go to the credit card processor, in this case, Stripe, I pull the sales there. I have a network of different spreadsheets. I map that data in, and then I have to do a bunch of transformation to make it work. Okay, that's pretty normal, you know, and think about the work that you're doing on a day-to-day basis. Think about the work that you're doing, you know, for your bank reconciliations or your balance sheet reconciliations. You're doing this work fairly often, you know, at a minimum once a month and maybe even more frequently than that. But you're doing the same thing over and over and over and over again, you know. I think they have a definition for that. I think it's called insanity, you know. But what's incredible with Power BI is it's a write once, refresh many capability. It's also what we call an ETL component, extract, transform, and load. Okay. So what does that really mean? What does that give us the ability? Well, it gives us the ability to be able to hook Power BI up to a number of different sources and train Power BI where those numbers are, where those figures are, and we can tell it, hey, go to this QuickBooks file, go to this Google Analytics, go to this Excel workbook, go to this database, go to these specific parts of these applications, get the data, calculate the data, clean up the data, and then present the data in near real time to our organization on a series of dashboards, reports, and other things like that. And what's amazing about this incredible tool is that it will remember essentially the different steps and the different pieces of this that you went through. So it will remember how it connected to that Excel workbook. It will remember how it connected to that database. And in the future, when it goes to calculate this, it just repeats those steps. It's like a playlist. Now we're going to explore that functionality, that ETL, that extract, transform, and load. We're going to explore that functionality in greater depth in a future video, specifically looking at Power Query. But that functionality is actually shared across many Microsoft applications, most specifically Microsoft Excel. And that is an incredible tool just to learn on its own right. In fact, in my opinion, probably the best tool that Microsoft has added in the last 10 years. And so we're going to take a detailed look at that in the future, but we'll take a look in terms of pointing out where it is in Power BI for today. But in addition to being able to connect all this stuff, Power BI also in one click can natively integrate with a number of other services that are called content packs. And I'll talk about that here in a moment. The point being is this gives you the ability to be able to mash up your data in any number of ways. I can take my data from online. I can take my data from a database. I can take my data from HR, and I can mash it all up in one report, giving the decision maker a overview, you know, a snapshot, a dashboard of all the things that they need to be able to make an effective data-driven decision at that point in time. And it might be different depending on who that person is. It might be some HR data, it might be some sales data, it might be some marketing data, but they have the ability to customize this any way that they would like. And we don't see that with a lot of tools out there where it's that easy and that effective to be able to make that kind of data-driven decision. Now, Power BI is intended to be an aggregation tool. It's intended to be a macro tool. It's intended to be able to take data from a lot of different places, clean it up, and present it visually. Now, you can create ledger-based reports. You know, if you wanted to create a table with 1,000 rows in it, knock your socks off. You can absolutely do that inside of Power BI. However, where Power BI really shines is visual aggregation-based reports, where you're seeing things in a bar chart, in a sunburst chart, in a pie chart, in a map, in a graph, in a matrix, in whatever type of visualization you want. So this doesn't get us away from, example, compliance-based reporting, where I think a lot of people get hung up is like, well, does this replace the balance sheet? Does this replace the income statement? No, it doesn't. What it does replace is the network web of different spreadsheets that you're using, where the user has to make those decisions and aggregations in their head. You know, what this gives us the ability to do is to pull all that data into one place, visualize it in whatever type of visualization we would like. There's over, I think, 20 different visualizations natively inside of the platform, and you can add on upon that as well with extensions. But we can put all this data cleaned up in a nice, easy to bite off type package where the user has all the pieces that they need to make that decision. And so whether it be key performance indicators, leaderboards, a pie chart, a distribution of sales in a line chart, or whatever it might be, you can do that. But you're not going to get away from your compliance-based reporting. You're not going to get away from your income statement. You're not going to get away from your 8Ks and your 10Ks and your 1040s and 1065s. All that compliance stuff is there. And it will continue to be there because those really kind of speak to the importance of comparability in an accounting system with other key companies and across an industry or across an economy. This is intended to be a management level system. It's intended to be put inside of an organization at a management level to give CEOs, CFOs, managers the information in a way that makes sense to them to make that data-driven decision. Now, I spoke a little bit earlier about these content packs. Oops, a little bit ahead of ourselves. Let's go back a one. I spoke a little bit about these content packs. And what's awesome with Power BI is that Microsoft has taken it upon themselves to be able to instantly connect to a number of resources automatically. You know, there's so many amazing cloud-based resources that organizations are using. And I guarantee you're using one, if not multiple of these. For example, you might be using MailChimp to manage your sales and marketing email campaigns. You might be using, let's say, Google Analytics to understand web traffic to your organization. Well, these data points are just as useful and especially even more useful when we put them in context with the sales and cost numbers of our organization. And so what they've done with these content packs, and there's probably 50 at this point, and they're always adding more, is that in one click, I can instantly integrate my Power BI account with a number of third-party services. I put in my MailChimp credentials. Instantly, I've got that MailChimp data at my fingertips that I can now include and compare it against my financials or my payroll or my cost data. Likewise, I could see and mash up my analytics data from Google on my website with my sales data. So if we're an organization, for example, that is using a website as our primary method of selling our products, and frankly, in today's economy, if you're not on the web, if you don't have an e-commerce, you're missing a massive opportunity. I can take that data, I can take my sales data, and I can instantly be able to analyze them side by side. And so I could see what are people buying versus what are the pages that they're going on, and I can find those trends. Power BI is an incredible tool because it allows us to find those needles in the haystack. And if we look at big business today, I mean, how did Amazon get this big? How did Walmart get this big? How did all these different organizations? Well, really, it's so competitive now, you have to find those needles in the haystack. And this is a tool that allows you to be able to slice and dice that data so much easier than other tools that previously were out there. We could slice and dice that data, find those little nuggets, find those needles in the haystack, and be able to exploit those opportunities, hopefully much better than what our competitors can do. And you don't have to spend an arm and a leg to make this possible. These content packs, as well as many of the other services of Power BI, are there. And once you just use the product, you plug in your credentials, it's really that simple and easy. And there's also a number of accounting systems that natively support this, specifically cloud-based accounting systems. So, for example, QuickBooks Online, Acumatica, Dynamics 365, you plug in your credentials, instantly, you have a dashboard of that data that you can manipulate and modify as needed, and that dashboard will update as new data becomes available inside of your organization, inside of that accounting system. All right, let's go ahead and have our first review question for today's course. Okay, so what kind of data cannot be utilized in a Power BI dashboard, data set, or report? So what can't we put into Power BI? Now, is it structured data coming from a database such as MySQL or MS SQL or Oracle? I think that could go in. Would it be physical papers from my desk? You know, something I got sitting right here. Maybe not. I don't know. Maybe data from a REST API. What's a REST API? Okay. Well, a REST API is a method of communicating system-to-system data. So imagine you got your accounting system, you got your payroll system. This is a method that they can exchange information with each other without you having to be involved. An API stands for an application programming interface. Well, that sounds like it could be brought in pretty easily with Power BI. Data from a local workbook, an Excel workbook. Yeah, that might work too. Well, so what is the correct answer here? The correct answer is physical papers from your desk. Everything else, for the most part, is acceptable to Power BI. I can import this data in through one method or multiple methods using things like data gateways, which we'll talk about towards the end of our presentation today. But if it's digital, if it's structured, if it is accessible, it's something that can be brought into Power BI. So it has to be stored in some sort of digital manner, either in a spreadsheet or preferably a database. It has to be accessible. It has to either be on a computer that Power BI can access or available on the cloud. And it has to be available for use. So it has to be connected in terms of what we do. But other than that, we can pull in data from any number of sources. Now, some sources are easier than others, but still it's not too difficult to get it online. Now, I want to draw a quick comparison between Power BI and Excel, so that you can kind of get the big picture of this. Excel is the Swiss Army knife of accounting and really kind of every office-based, knowledge-based profession. It's a tool that we all use. We all have a different familiarity, expertise, and understanding of this application. And it's a really useful tool. In my opinion, it's the tool that I reach for absent of a better tool. Meaning if I don't know what I'm going to use for a project, if I don't know what I'm going to use for a particular task, I'm going to start with Excel. Because the nice thing about Excel is I can always take it to something else. You know, that structured table format, rows and columns, cells is very, very useful for pretty much every type of project. Whether you're doing a recipe and you need to organize your ingredients, or you're trying to do a reconciliation of something, Excel's what you're going to want to use. However, Excel does have some limitations. It's a file, for example, meaning if I want to share this with you, I got to send you that file. You got to open it up. You got to have a relatively recent version to comparative to me to be able to understand that file. And there's some immediate things that are going to be required in order for you to be able to accurately and usefully use that file, you know, and it's not real time. You know, essentially that file that I've created, it's a moment in time. It's a snapshot of what that data looked like. And in order for that to be able to update, I have to physically and manually be able to produce updates to that file. Now, thankfully, it has gotten better over the years. Tools such as Power Query are amazing because it can connect an Excel workbook directly to a data source, but it's not perfect. And additionally, this is really difficult when you need to have multiple people in a file at the same time. Okay. It's also not great for large quantities of data. Excel, under the traditional way of utilizing Excel, will really kind of cap out at about 1 million rows and about 16,000 columns of data, which is good for 99% of projects. However, increasingly, we're using big data in our organizations. We're analyzing millions and sometimes even billions of rows, depending on the size of our organization. And it's actually not that hard to get to that cap out, you know, to the upper limits of what Excel can do. So it's not really good for real-time data. It's not really good for sharing data. It's not really good for big data sets. But it's fantastic for writing formulas, and it's fantastic for pivot tables. It's fantastic for a lot of things. Okay. Now, Excel over the years has had a number of different business intelligence tools. Most notably would be Power View, which was an extension you could add from Microsoft onto Excel. However, again, it never really kind of got around that limitation of being a file, you know? So enter Power BI. Power BI is a fantastic complement to Excel. And in fact, it leverages a lot of the critical functionality that is available in Excel, but produces a different twist for it. It produces a different perspective of what that application can do. And if we look at this, a lot of the same visualizations are in both applications. You can do bar charts, pie charts, line charts, maps, and Excel. You absolutely can do those in Power BI. It's just a little bit different in terms of the calculation. Now, if we look at the underlying engine that makes these two tools for large data sets function, it's the exact same. Okay. In both of these tools, we have a new programming language for data manipulation. We actually have two. Okay. We have what's called DAX. That stands for Data Analysis Expressions. DAX is a useful tool, almost kind of like a quasi-database tool that allows us to be able to do manipulations on large quantities of data. Okay. And DAX is useful for creating measures and creating key performance indicators. And it's what we have to use in either of these tools to be able to manipulate large quantities of data. It's not optional. And in fact, in Power BI, it's the only way that we can write formulas is using this DAX. So if you know how to do it in Excel, you're going to know how to do it in Power BI. Now, we also have another manipulation language, Power Query. Okay. Power Query, also referred to as the M programming language, is a way that we can manipulate data for transformation purposes. Now, in both of these tools, often before we can actually do the analysis that we're looking to do, we would need to manipulate the data to make it ready for work, adding columns, moving things around, renaming things, giving things the correct title, giving things the correct layout and orientation, adding context, other things like that. Well, we do that the same in both applications. The actual user interface is the same. Now, the good news is these are really approachable techniques. And in the coming weeks and months, we're going to take deep dives into both DAX and M in excruciating detail, telling you and training you how to use these tools effectively. We're going to be launching a series here in the next couple of weeks where we're going to take each one of these, and there's a lot of individual components inside of them, and we're going to go through in shorter videos and show you exactly how to utilize these tools effectively. Okay. Now, in terms of the development environment, this is where they start to differ. Excel does have an online component, Excel Online, but it's very limited with respect to what it can do. There's a lot of power functions inside of Excel that are just not replicated in that web-based tool or that online-based tool. However, a lot of it is. You know, thankfully, if you're utilizing Office 365, Microsoft 365, and hopefully you are, you can utilize the online versions of these tools, and they're really good. I mean, the online version of Excel is great for what it does, and it brings a lot of really critical, needed functionality that was not there prior. The ability, for example, to be able to have multiple people in a worksheet and have multiple people operating real time. Well, with the online version, you can, which is fantastic inside of Excel. However, Power BI is a more complete version of an online product. Power BI is sold or offered, let's say, in two major forms, but both of which are extremely complementary to each other and function almost identical to each other. Power BI is offered as a desktop application, which I'm going to show you where to go to here in a moment and find it. And it's also offered as an online service. And in fact, you're going to use both. The desktop tool is what we're going to use today, for example, to do manipulation and operation of data inside of our data set. And then ultimately, we're going to publish that to the Power BI service, which then will make it available to our staff and colleagues. So we have an authorship tool local to our computer that we can work with and manipulate. And we have a service that then we can publish out to let our staff, colleagues, vendors, customers be able to utilize the data as well. Now, from that service, they can consume it directly from the web. So there's the powerbi.com website, and there's also mobile apps too for all major mobile operating system, iOS and Android, where they can get this data on the go. You know, the way I always like to say with Power BI, I mean, you could be the executive getting in a quick 18 on the golf course and from your phone be able to pull up your dashboards and see immediately real time where your sales, marketing costs, your payroll costs and things are, because that data is being pushed to that service and you're consuming it on the platform of choice, in this case with an iPhone. Now, I want to take a second real quick, and I want to show you the Power BI website and service so you can kind of get a sense of where this functions and where you can go. So if you're just getting started with Power BI, where you're going to want to start is with powerbi.com or powerbi.microsoft.com. It's going to take you to their base website. Now, as I mentioned, the Power BI service is free, and the Power BI desktop application is free. I will tell you that you can just download this tool and you can use it straight on your computer, but really to harness the power of this, you're going to need a Microsoft account to get started. Now, I want to point out, this does not need to be an Office 365 or a Microsoft 365 account. You can do all of this just with a generic account. This does not require any active subscription to Office to be able to get this to function. Now, on their website, they've got amazing tools and resources that's available for you to kind of learn a little bit about this tool. They've got some great macro information that you can kind of understand where this tool is effective and how it's being used. They've got some great example and sample data that you can choose to manipulate and work with as well. Now, if you're interested in purchasing this product, and again, why would you purchase this? Well, you would purchase this for one of two reasons. Either you're working with bigger data sets than what the Power BI free service can provide, or more often than not, you're looking to share this data inside of your organization. So in our company, let's say I do and I create a whole bunch of reports. Well, at some point, I'm going to want to give that information to the people who need to make decisions. Well, instead of transferring an Excel workbook, I publish that to the Power BI service, and then I create accounts for them, and they're able to use and access this information. Now, if we see here, we have two different pricing plans. Well, actually, technically, let's say three. Okay. The first plan is the one that we're going to start with today, just the free plan. Okay. But then the next step up would be the Power BI Pro, which comes in at a startling $9.99 per month. And that's $9.99 per month. Incredibly affordable. Now, if you do have a lot of people in your company, you don't have to buy this for every single person. You can just buy it for the people who actually need the product. You know, so it might just be the accounting team and the executive team, or it might be the operations team and the logistics team. You buy the number of licenses for the people who actually need to use this. And that's $9.99 per month. Okay. Now, what happens though if you're a bigger business? You know, think of yourself as like a Coca-Cola or General Motors or Ford. I mean, you got thousands of employees all over the world. $9.99 can be quite expensive when you think about the thousands of people who might come into play. Well, the good news is the price does cap out at about $5,000, $4,995 per month. That would be the upper limit. And so at that $4,995, that is a flat rate, and you can have as many staff as needed inside of your organization. So still expensive, but you know, for a big 10,000, 20,000 person company, I mean, you could start to see where the economics of this start to make sense to just kind of go for that flat rate. But still, if you're looking to just use this for your own, you 100% can get started for free, you know, which is really kind of cool and compelling. Now, inside of this tool itself, the web version and the desktop version are almost identical with each other. So let's go ahead and switch over here to the desktop version. And I wanted to just give you a quick tour with respect to what the functionality looks like and give you a sense of where to look inside the application. We're going to take a look at this. Then I'm going to go ahead and dive back into talking about data and how to get your data structured correctly so that it works effectively inside of Power BI. We'll look at importing data in here as well. But for those of you who are just getting started, let's kind of get you oriented to what to look at and where certain things are. Now, Power BI utilizes the same ribbon interface that Excel would use. You know, so for example, if you're utilizing Excel, okay, you'll notice the interface and the ribbon interface is the same across both applications. So again, one of the reasons I like this tool more compared to other tools like Tableau or other business intelligence applications is that it's immediately approachable. I already have a general sense of where things are going to be located. And the application itself is actually quite simpler in terms of user interface than what you would see with compared to Excel even, or even PowerPoint for that matter. And in here we have our ribbon interface, okay, and then we have panels. Okay. Now, most of the work that we're going to do are going to be in these panels on the left and the right. And then the things that we're going to manipulate with respect to our report, they're going to be up top here in the ribbon. Now, the ribbon is quite simple. Okay, we have our home menu, and from our home menu over here in this data section, this is going to be where we're going to connect to our different data sets. We have some insert options with respect to different things that we can add. So if we wanted to add a text box to store text, you know, static text, we could. We have our calculation options, measures. We're not going to take a look at that today, but in our next class, we're going to take a look at creating DAX measures to be able to calculate things inside of our workbook to create new calculations that did not exist prior. And so that's going to become increasingly unpopular. And we have the ever so important publish button. The publish button takes the data that we are manipulating and working with inside of our local Power BI work, and then it pushes it up to the Power BI service, in effect, making it available online for other people to be able to work with and manipulate. Now, on the left-hand side here, what we have is our different modes and views. Okay. By default, when you load the application up, we see our report view. Inside of this report view, this is where we're going to actually create the reports. So if we go to, for example, create different types of visualizations, bar charts, pie charts, matrix charts, maps, graphs. We literally are dragging those pieces onto the canvas and we are manipulating them directly here. Now, I want to point out with respect to Power BI, it's very much a what you see is what you get type of approach. So, you know, if I have a bar chart that is taking up a tiny subsection, you know, of the screen, that's what it's going to look like to the user. You know, likewise, if I drag and I make it half the screen, that's what it's going to look like to the user. So what we see is what we get in terms of how we would design this. And we want to think about what we would want our users to see. Now, we also have our data set view. Okay, our data set view allows us to be able to see our different data components. You know, so if we're working, for example, with sales data, this is going to be the view probably most similar to Microsoft Excel. And so we're going to see, for example, our dates, our sales amounts, our unit costs, and things of this nature. And this is going to be probably the easiest view to create new calculated columns using that DAX, that data analysis expressions capability. So this is going to be our data set view, to being able to manipulate and view that data. And our most underlying view is what we call our model view, okay? And so from this model view, what we can see here is that we can essentially see all the different pieces that are coming in from the different data sets that we're working with, and we can see how they fit together. Now, this particular view is what I think most people struggle with getting started. And that's where we're going to start our conversation today, is understanding how to structure data to make it useful and effective for Power BI. Because if your data isn't right, it doesn't matter what you do, it's not going to be right inside of the presentation. And so a little bit of knowledge about this in terms of how this functions and works is going to be incredibly useful later on. Okay. And increasingly, this data view is what we're going to need to be able to do large scale manipulation and working with larger quantities of data. We need to have some underlying appreciation and understanding of how data needs to be structured. If you're looking to do anything around automation, if you're interested in automation, we just recently put out a podcast on data sharing and integration last week, where we took a detailed look about what it looks like to integrate data and to automate data from one system to the other. Well, a lot of that is prerequisite knowledge in terms of being able to manipulate a data set and knowing how to use that relational data model. So this piece of knowledge that we're going to talk about today is useful, not just inside of Power BI, but inside of Excel, across other services such as Zapier, Power Automate, and more. In my opinion, this is probably one of the best skill sets that you can add to your repertoire of abilities as a financial professional, is the ability to be able to work with, manipulate, and understand data. Now, all of these views, we're going to go in depth over the coming videos, talking about all the different things that you would need to know to create measures, to create charts, graphs. We're going to create a whole bunch of different reports. So stick with us over the coming weeks. We'll have more and more information coming out about Power BI and what you can do with this incredible tool. Now, let's go ahead and go into our next section here, talking about that data set. Now, I do want to remind you, if you're a financial professional and you're listening here today, either as we're presenting this live or as a podcast on your favorite podcast platform, Apple, Google, or Stitcher, Spotify, or others, that this is a CPE webinar. And in fact, you can listen for free. And if you'd like to earn credits for today's class, you can go to our website, cpetoday.com, and use course code PBI1. Take a short 5-question exam, and you can earn a credit for listening to today's broadcast. So check that out, cpetoday.com, course code PBI1. Now, let's talk about the data set. Why do we want to talk about the data set? Because if the data isn't correct, it doesn't matter what you're going to do. The data set is the underlying capability that really kind of makes all of this hum. And if you have bad data coming in, you're absolutely going to have bad data coming out. And the old adage, garbage in, garbage out. So let's talk about getting that data set correct. Let's talk about creating our data not only to be correct, but designed to be correct for Power BI. Because there's a right way and there's a wrong way to do this. Now, in general, we have two different types of data that we're working with inside of any data project. We have facts and we have dimensions, okay? Now, best practices would tell us that we want to be able to properly label our things. So for the purposes of the demonstration files, which are provided if you take the test, you'll notice everything is labeled correctly. And you're going to see there are fact tables and then there are dimension tables. Okay. Now, a fact table represents a fact. It could be a payroll number. It could be a unit cost. It could be a sales number. It could be a check. It could be something. But it represents a static piece of information that is really kind of objective truth. It's objective with respect to what it does and its intention. Now, these fact tables will generally be numeric. They will summarize, they'll be going to be things that we want to summarize. So we're going to want to summarize our sales transactions, our payroll costs, our expenses to create a product, disbursements, things of this nature. Okay. And it's just going to be a listing. And now there are going to be things that describe those facts, like dates. And what you're often going to see are keys. So like a payroll key, a job cost ID, a product ID, something of this nature. Now, those keys are incredibly important. They're the base of what we call the relational data model. Now, very rarely in real life scenarios are you going to see everything you need to do to create a dashboard in one place. It's generally going to be spread out across a lot of different resources. So you will, for example, have a sales table or an invoice table, and then there'll also be other stuff that goes along with it. Categories, products, customers, vendors, things of this nature. Now, we relate those using the common attribute, which is a key, a customer ID, a vendor ID, a product ID, a category ID, something of that nature. And we just map those in. And that's where that model view inside of Power BI becomes really useful. Now, we're going to have dimension tables, and those are going to be the things that we're going to relate back to the fact tables. And the dimension tables will be our categories, it'll be our products, it'll be our customers, and it's going to be the thing that we want to do to provide context to understand these facts that make it useful for us, so that we can understand trends, so that we can see the general direction of where our sales are going, the general direction of how our costs are increasing or decreasing, the general direction of where we might want to choose to expand our business. So lots of different ways that we can use to handle this, and lots of different ways that we can structure, but generally having something numeric that is fact-based would be our fact tables, and the things that we want to provide context, those would be our DIM or our dimensional tables. Now, you should follow best practices. And that doesn't always happen. And honestly, it can happen for a wide variety of reasons. You could have a lot of existing historical systems, and this is just how it is structured. But if you have some decision-making, if you have some ability to make your data look a specific way, here are some general recommendations of how you would want to organize your data. You should seek to construct your dimension tables so they contain as few columns as necessary inside of Power BI. Power BI is going to want to store all of this, and if you have more data that you're never going to use than necessary, it just takes more data, and it takes data away that you can use for other purposes. Additionally, it makes the calculation slower because it has to look at the whole object. So generally, have as few columns as possible when we're looking at this. If you don't, for example, need to know, let's say, vendor geography, don't have it in there. You know, it's just going to take up data that you could use for other purposes. Generally, you want to follow single responsibility of your data. We have this topic inside of computer science called single responsibility principle, or SRP. Now, technically, what it speaks to is in a programming class, a class should never be responsible for more than one thing at a time. But if we take that concept and we more broadly expand it to kind of data sets in general, what this speaks to is that your table should be single purpose. A sales table should only ever contain information about sales. I would never expect to see payroll data there. The one exception to that would be maybe a payroll job ID that would allow me to put that sale in context to my payroll figures. But generally, we want to keep our tables single purpose and single focus. So we would want to keep sales about sales, customers about customers. I would never expect to go to a customer table and see vendor information there. Okay, so we want to keep things simple. Now, if we mix dissimilar information inside dimensional tables, it's going to become very increasingly difficult to manage our models. And it's going to take a lot more time and processing ability to be able to get the data we want. Okay. So as an example, if we look at this, and I'm going to show you an example here with just standard Excel data. Now, what we see here is we see on the left what we would call like a monster table, you know, a Frankenstein table, where we've taken data and we've repeated ourselves multiple times. And on the right, what we see is what it should look like. Now, on the left, what we see here is we see account name, account number, department, department name. And you'll notice we have to repeat ourselves several times because of all the different combinations. You know, we need bad debt expense at the retail level, the wholesale level, the OEM, and the corporate level. But we end up having to repeat that over and over. Ideally, what we should be looking at is that we should be looking at these in single tables. And then we can relate them based off of what? The department ID or the account number. So when we're structuring this, it's a lot more efficient to have smaller tables that do not repeat themselves and then bring them into our model in this way. It's okay if there's only two or three options. We don't need it to be comprehensive, and we don't need it to have every single possible thing inside of there. All right, let's go ahead and have our next review question. Which of the following statements is true regarding fact tables inside of a data set? Fact tables typically store dimensions by which you want to summarize data. Fact tables are typically stored data that you want to have summarized. Okay. By default, all tables are designated fact tables. You must designate which tables you want to be considered fact tables. Ooh, that's a real humdinger. Let's see what the correct answer is. Well, the correct answer is fact tables typically store the data you want summarized. So that would be our sales, our costs, our payroll, our checks, things of this nature. And by bringing in dimensional tables, that's when we bring in summarization. And that's how we're able to analyze this in context to the other tools and the other components that are out there. And it gives us perspective on our data. Now, once we bring the data into Power BI, we are going to have to create what we call the relational model. And the relational model is a schema design that brings these different pieces, these fact tables and these dimension tables together, and then makes it useful. Okay. This is a not optional step. And this is the step that I see most people getting messed up on and frustrated with respect to getting started with Power BI, is that they can't get the data correct and they can't get the data inserted correctly. Okay, well, there's two methods that we can use with respect to getting our data correct inside of Power BI. Okay, there's two different schema designs. We have a star schema and then we have a snowflake schema. Okay, now what you're seeing here is the star schema. The star schema talks to the fact that all data kind of points back to one or two central tables. And it's very efficient and very fast in terms of being able to get and access those data sets. Now, utilizing this particular method, kind of going from one place to the other, is actually quite easy and quite effective with respect to from one table to the other. And if I wanted to, for example, summarize something to promotions, I'm not having to go through, you know, for example, the product table and the fact table in order to be able to get to this. Kind of in one hop, I can go from one to the other. Now, inside of Power BI, this is kind of what it looks like here. Okay, we would see here that we've got our central fact table, and in one hop, I can go and I can summarize promotions. In one hop, I can go and understand my sales in context to the products. Likewise with our dates. You know, I'm not having to go through a whole bunch of tables to get to what I want. Now, what this means is less data has to be stored. It's easier to process, faster process, and it's more responsive. And this kind of speaks to that single responsibility principle in the sense that we have tables that are only responsible for one thing. They're only responsible for holding date information, only responsible for handling product information or promotion information. And our central table, our fact table, has three connectors out that go to those tables directly. So it's very easy and very effective in terms of being able to manipulate that data. Now, this is in opposition to the other paradigm. The other paradigm is Snowflake. Now, Snowflake isn't inherently wrong, and sometimes you're going to have to do it this particular way. With the Snowflake, what we end up having to do is daisy chain our data together to get to what we want. You know, so from, for example, the sales table, if I wanted to get to product table or category table, well, we might have several other intermediary or linking tables that take us to this. You know, so from there, I've got to go to my dimension product table. I've got to go to my dimension subcategory, ultimately to get to my category. And this is a very inefficient method of being able to calculate this. Because what we end up having to do is to have multiple other linking tables there to be able to get to that, what we actually want. So from our sales table here, if I wanted to get to my product, well, I end up having to put in two other intermediary tables that add and take away from the amount of data we could store in our account and also add a lot of processing to it. Now, the takeaway from this is that we generally just want to have the simplest data we possibly can with the simplest data set that we can import into into Power BI, but also to Excel too, if you choose to do some of this inside of Excel. So as a rule, the star schema is going to be generally preferred. We want easily summarizable tables, and this is a direct benefit to you in terms of making your data easier and more manipulatable and easier to report upon. You know, as a result of this, queries and calculations are going to be faster, they're going to run better, and it's easier to modify. So if you need to add additional data sets in the future, it's just an easy pop-in replacement or an easy import in of that additional item. So I would generally tell you, get your data set correct, and you want to get your data summarized correctly so that when you import it into Power BI, it's easy for you to be able to manipulate. In our next video, we're going to specifically look at what it looks like to take our data and manipulate it and what it looks like to pop in. And we're going to go through this and we're going to create a series of dashboards to create this. And we're going to create a bunch of reports just from the simple data sets provided. Now, if you've signed up for our course, I've already made these sample files available to you. So if you'd like to skip ahead a little bit and try this for yourself, head on over to cpetoday.com. Use course code PBI1. You can download our sample data and you can try it out for yourself. Now, there's other ways that we can manipulate in bringing our data in. Now, Power BI offers two main import methods. We have an import method and we have a direct query method. Now, what's great about this is that we can choose between them and we can also use a balance mode that kind of balances between these. Now, when we're bringing our data into Power BI, we can either directly import all the data in, which will be stored inside of that file itself, or we can use what's called direct query. And with direct query, it doesn't load any data into the actual file. It just queries a database or that Excel file in real time. Import's great because it's very fast and responsive. However, the big limitation is it doesn't work well with big data sets. So we're going to be limited to about a gig of data at a time inside of that import method. But we got big data, maybe we're a big company. Direct query is going to be the way that we're going to want to do this because it allows us to be able to access data in real time directly from those databases. Now, we also have some other methods of creating data. I will tell you generally with inside of Power BI, it's always best to import your data in directly, meaning it's best to have this come from a database. It's best to have this come from an Excel file or a REST API or something like that. But on occasion, you can also create your own data inside of it. I will tell you, it's not a great experience. It's not intended to be an authorship tool, but you can. And I'll show you in our next class essentially what it would look like to create and add your own data inside of this. But if you look inside of the Power BI application, from the home tab right up top here, you also have the ability to enter your own data in. You know, some of the big drawbacks for this though is that once the data is in there, it's considered permanent. And in order to be able to manipulate it, you have to use the replace values feature of Power Query. So not the best method, but that's a method that you can bring your data in as well. But generally I tell you, bring it in from a database. If you can't bring it in from a database, map it in as an Excel file, because then you have the ability to be able to edit and manipulate it. Now, we also have this idea that's kind of central to databases as well, which is cardinality and cross-filtering, okay? So one of the things I want you to think about as you're planning your data sets coming into Power BI here is for your dimension tables, how do they relate back to that central fact table? In database terminology, we call this cardinality. And we have things that are many-to-many, one-to-one, one-to-many, many-to-one. And it really kind of speaks to the nature of how that record relates to the other items. For example, you might have an order. Well, an order might have many products associated with it, but it should only generally ever have one customer associated with it. Well, so if we were summarizing our customers, we would have what's called a one-to-one, meaning one customer to one order. Or, you know, if they're buying multiple things from us, we might have a one-to-many, where one customer would have many orders, but one order would only have one customer. You know, likewise with an order. Well, a product that's being sold, a line item of that, would generally only have one order, but one order could have many line items. Now, we also have this other thing called many-to-many, which generally should be avoided, but Power BI will work through it, which is called many-to-many. You know, and the best example of this would be in the context of like a wholesaler, where a, you know, wholesaler would have many distributors and a distributor might have many wholesalers. So you want to kind of think about the organization of your data and how it stacks up with other things. And we also want to think about how that data is going to be filtered one way to the other. Now, in our next class, I'm going to show you how you can handle this a little bit better, but you need to think about how this data relates. When you're looking at your Excel workbooks or you're looking at your databases, you need to kind of map in how each of these different components are going to relate to each other. Now, inside of Power BI, it's easily indicated with respect to the iconography inside of the model view. If we go and we take a look at this, you'll notice that when we're in our model view, we will have a 1 indicating this is a 1, and we have a asterisk indicating a many. And so what's kind of nice is just in a snapshot, we can see that there is a 1-to-many relationship between these different tables. And we can also see, using the little arrow here, the flow of data from one to the other. So we can see here that a sale, okay, would only have one promotion, but a promotion would have many sales. So if we were to go and look at this and filter on this, we would generally see maybe a promotion per order. But if we were to go look from the promotions perspective, we would see several orders, hopefully, if it's a successful endeavor, tied to that one promotion. And so that idea of cardinality and filtering and the direction of which the data can travel is really important. And it's important that we know that ahead of time, so as we're planning our data sets, we can handle that correctly. So more on that in a future podcast. Now, the last thing I want to mention with respect to our data is this idea that we can work with both on-premise as well as cloud-based data. And this is one of the tools that makes Power BI really, really effective and powerful. And this is a tool that's offered by Microsoft, and it's called a data gateway. Okay, data gateways are probably one of the most misunderstood aspects of what Power BI can do. And we're going to explore this in a couple of different aspects in future videos. But a data gateway is fantastic because it allows us to be able to pull data inside of our local office or inside of our local data center and push it up to the Power BI service. Now, other tools require you to punch a hole in your firewall and provide access in and out of the service to and from, you know, whatever that reporting service is into and from your office. Now, Power BI's Data Gateway is a application you can install in addition to the Power BI desktop application that allows the Power BI service to access files locally on the computer as well as up in the cloud or inside of your local data center. And so as long as that computer has access to it, the Power BI data center does as well. And so it's great when we want to be able to communicate information back up to the cloud to provide those real-time reports. So it's that connection from your office, your company's internal data center, your company's internal network to the cloud Power BI service. Okay. Now, you don't always need it. And it's got a couple of different ways that it can be utilized. But when do you need this? A data gateway is necessary when you want to link data between your local office and the Power BI service. So if I got something here locally and I want to be able to report on in the cloud, we need the data gateway. A data gateway is not required to link between a local data source and the local Power BI. So if I'm looking to do everything locally, I can do this without having to use that data gateway. And it's also not necessary if I'm looking to report between a cloud-based service and the Power BI desktop or the Power BI service itself. So if I'm using services from like Acumatica, Dynamics 365, Google Analytics, well, those are already natively in the cloud. That data gateway is not required. And so we use this to really kind of bridge the gap between stuff that we want inside of our local environment and what we would want that up in the cloud. Now, there's two versions of this. There is the personal gateway. The personal gateway is what you would use if you're getting started with Power BI. It supports a single user. It supports just the Power BI desktop application. It does not support the direct query method, so it's still going to import in your data directly to the Power BI service, but it's free and it works. Now, they also have what they call the standard, also known as the enterprise gateway. This is going to be what you'd use in production. So if you choose to make your data available to other people inside of a larger ecosystem of company operations, well, that's the tool you're going to use. And we're going to discuss in future episodes how to configure that and how it looks to pull your data in, because there's some special gotchas that if you've never done it before, we'll get you. And hopefully we can teach you not to do that and to set it up correctly. Good news is either way you choose to use it, it's safe, secure, reliable, and robust, and it works really well. Now, you can manage it directly inside of the Power BI service. There's some little iconography up in the top to allow you to get there. This is going to be where you're going to schedule your refreshes. This is going to be where you're going to set this up. And you can pull your data in relatively real time using this. So even if you have data on your local computer, you can still get it up to the cloud and allow your staff to have that real-time insight, even from a local Excel file. And you can do this up to 8 times a day with a paid account, which is pretty nifty. All right, let's go ahead and have our final review question for the day. Which of the following best describes the difference between import versus direct query? Okay, the import method loads all the data from the external data source into the data set, whereas direct query method does not load or store any data into Power BI. The import has no limit on the amount of data that can load, whereas direct query is limited to 1 gigabyte. That doesn't sound right. Import is the preferred method for large volumes of data, whereas direct query is the preferred method for smaller. That doesn't sound right either. You know, direct query can be unlimited, but import is limited to 1 gigabyte. You cannot use the import on SQL Server or similar databases. Well, what's the correct answer here? The correct answer is the first one. The import method loads all data from the external data source into the data set, where direct query does not load. Now, direct query is great if you got large quantities of data, millions of rows, because it's not going to require transfer of all of that data. It only will pull the data necessary to create the visualization as needed. So it's a little less intensive for the data that you're going to want to use on a regular basis. And it's great if you want to use more real-time based data. So, and it's not optional if you're working with very, very large quantities of data. All right. Well, that does bring us to the end of our presentation. Let's talk about next time, what you can expect. Well, today we kind of gave and laid the framework and groundwork with respect to understanding the Power BI service overall. We talked about some of the major components and looked at where they are inside of the Power BI desktop application. We also gave an introduction talking about data modeling and get your data correct. Well, in the next version of this course and in future classes of this, we're going to go ahead and take a deep dive in every aspect of Power BI. I like to say I'm going to go into excruciating detail about every widget and feature, and we're going to talk about lots of different styles and methods of creating reports. We're going to take probably most immediately and actually create data, and we're going to put data in here. We're also going to explore some of the more complicated aspects of Power BI, like creating custom calculations using DAX and measures and KPIs and things of this nature in terms of what they function as. So if you're interested in using this tool inside your business, this is going to be your go-to course to utilize this tool effectively from start to finish. Now, if you like today's course, I'd encourage you to reach out. Let us know what you think. You're welcome to follow us on social media. On most social media platforms, we're at CPE Today or at CPEToday.com as well. Connect with us on LinkedIn. If you have any feedback to today's course, go ahead and shoot us an email, questions@CPEToday.com. Love to know what you think of our content. Additionally, again, if you're a financial professional and you'd like credits for today's class, it's super simple. Go to cpetoday.com, use course code PBI1, take a quick exam, and from that quick exam, you'll earn your certificate and earn a credit for listening to today's podcast. Thank you so much for attending. We really appreciate your time and attention. We have lots of great webinars coming up. Next week, we're going to be doing a webinar on Excel data tables, more powerful than you know. We're going to be talking very much about structuring your data correctly inside of Power BI, and tables are a great way to learn that relational data model. We're also going to have additional courses on working with cloud technology. We're going to take a deep look at Microsoft 365, Zoho, Google, and others. So stay tuned. Please consider liking and subscribing and leaving a comment for our video, let you know what you think, and feel free to leave us a review on whatever platform you're consuming, whether it be Facebook, podcasts, or anything else that you choose. Thank you so much for your time and attention. We really appreciate you being here today. Wish you all the best, and hope to see you in another podcast very soon. Thank you. Best wishes and good luck to you all.